So we are here today to commemorate the passing of our dear god sister Yamuna Devi, and she had such a great influence on everyone who came in contact with her. Her warmth, her friendly demeanor, her smile. And she greeted everyone so with such a heartfelt, friendly mood. And certainly she's had an impact on our worldwide ISKCON movement. We just heard her singing the Govindam prayers. When Prabhupada first heard that song in Los Angeles, he was weeping. And then he instructed that that should be played every morning at the greeting of the deities. And certainly her influence was there in so many fields. In, of course, cooking. She published that wonderful Krishna's Cuisine, The Art of Indian Vegetarian Cooking. That won the Best Cookbook of the Year award, I believe, sometime in the 80s. In the vegetarian category and also in all categories, and there were over 400 cookbooks entered for that particular year. And deity worship, anyone who ever saw her deities were quite amazed at the artful decoration, the cleanliness, and her devotion just was infectious. Anyone who was around her felt her devotion to Srila Prabhupada and felt her devotion to the Lord. We were fortunate enough to live next door to Yamuna Devi in Charanakati, where we live today. That's a farm community in the hills of British mountains of British Columbia. She first met Srila Prabhupada in 1966 in New York. Her sister Janaki, she came for her sister's Janaki's wedding, and she helped Prabhupada cook, which was very prophetic for her later devotional service. And then she went back to San Francisco, read Srimad Bhagavatam in the mountains, and then came to surrender to Srila Prabhupada after reading his Bhagavatam. In London in 1969, of course, everyone probably knows how she met the Beatles. Shyam Sundar Prabhu initially met them, and at one point George was so impressed with her voice, he told her that, "I can make you a star if you want." And she declined. She did not want to become a star. She wanted her to increase her devotion to Krishna and Prabhupada. I first met her in 1970 in Surat when I went as basically a karmi, doing a photographic essay on the devotees in India. And she was on that party. That was the first party that Srila Prabhupada took back to India for preaching. And if anyone has heard about that time or read about that time, it was an extraordinary time with devotees being so wonderfully received by the people of India, especially in Surat. And I remember she was so friendly, so kind. She was one of the few persons on that party who reached out to somebody who was brand new, long hair, mustache, karmi clothes, no recognizable traits as being devotional at all. But she, her husband Gurudas at that time, Dininath Prabhu, and a few others were very encouraging to me and my Krishna consciousness, especially Yamuna Devi. At that time in Surat, I remember there was a palm reader who came. And so Srila Prabhupada said, he said, let's have a little fun. So the palm reader read, I remember, read Yamuna's hand. He read a sannyasi's hand. Anyway, he read Yamuna's hand. She said, this woman will become as famous as the Yamuna River. And he read a sannyasi's hand. And he said, this sannyasi will fall down. And the sannyasi at that time said, wrote this astrologer off as bogus. But unfortunately, he did have difficulty later on. In Allahabad, on that same tour of India, Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the story of Ajamil from the sixth canto. And at one point he told Yamuna that he was speaking for her. And she was, if you ever saw her listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, she was completely attentive, just hanging on every word. And Srila Prabhupada understood that and complimented her like that. She served in Vrindavan for quite a number of years, establishing the Krishna Balaram temple, and did immense service for establishing that temple. And at the same time, in those early days in India, she was learning cooking, and she later used that for her cookbook, that knowledge. And she also, Srila Prabhupada also instructed her to learn deity worship at Radharaman temple. And I was fortunate enough to see her book that she had compiled of notes from deity worship, being instructed in deity worship. And it was just an elaborate, wonderful book on deity seva. Everything she did was meticulous. She was expert in everything. Everything she took up, she became expert in. One of her wonderful qualities. Around 1975 or late 74, she came back to America, and she wrote her cookbook. And my wife helped her in that. She actually helped her to test all the recipes in that book. So we had a lot of association at that time. And she was during those from 1975 to 1997, she lived in quite a few places around the world. And she was looking for a so-called ideal spot to settle down. And she went to so many different places, which was wonderful because many devotees around the world got her association. She lived in UK. She lived in the Seattle area. She lived in Florida. She lived in New Vrindavan. We were also her neighbors in New Vrindavan. And then she was in the Seattle area in Washington State. And her lifelong partner in Krishna consciousness, Dinatarani Dasi, was invited to Sharanagati. So she came to Sharanagati. She liked it very much. And she came back and encouraged Yamuna to also visit. So she did. She drove alone up to the farm. And as you approach the farm, it's not very attractive. It's high desert, very dry and kind of desolate. But once she got in the valley, she told us that she could understand. When she drove into the valley, she could understand that the holy name resides here. So she finally found her place. And as usual, she did everything expertly, including building her own house. She and Dina Tarane studied a lot of structures, thorough research, and built a straw bale house according to the Vastu recommendations. And that is actually for sale because in later years, Yamuna had health problems. And she went to Florida. Her service in Sharanagati was especially extraordinary with the young people, including my daughter, who from age 5 to age 16 or so at Yamuna's association along with four of her friends. And Yamuna would teach them cooking, deity worship, bhajan, everything she knew she imparted to those girls. So I felt that was the best place for her to be. No better place than to take there and take an instruction from Yamuna Devi. And unfortunately, later on, she had health difficulties for the past year or two, and she was forced to move to Florida, Melbourne, Florida, where she was very keen on having a place on the ocean. So she resided, she and Dina Tarani resided in Melbourne, Florida, which is a few hundred miles from Alachua. What happened was that she was having some breathing difficulty in the evening. This is just a day and a half ago. And she took rest late in the night. And then Dina Tarani woke up in the morning and then found her sitting in a chair with her japa mala in her hand, and she had left. So we are all feeling that loss very deeply. I'd like to pass the microphone on to others who will, God brothers and God sisters, who will speak. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Last January, Yamuna was at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I visited her there, and we were spending the afternoon speaking about different issues. She'd been there for some time, and Narataki will tell you more, Dasi will tell you more. But I remember when, as usual, her heart was so open to spreading Krishna consciousness that though uncomfortable, and though in a state of being confined in that hospital, any knock on that door, and it did knock while I was there, she welcomed the opportunity to share Krishna consciousness. The door opened, and there was Radhanath Swami and Joe Walsh and his wife, a very famous rock star, and Shamsundar. Surprised her that afternoon, and her eyes brightened, and she was as young as a 20-year-old preaching about Krishna to this with the opportunity there. I'll never forget it, because when I was talking to her, she was very tired and had a hard time breathing, but as soon as the opportunity came for her to preach, she was alive. My first encounter with her was in England. I was staying at that time at the manor, and she had a place outside the manor. It was the first time that I had seen a devotee living outside the temple with their own deities. I didn't know it was even possible. And she had a place with Dina Tarani at the time. And we walked into their house when they were in the middle of an artik, and I was completely shocked. I was blown away that you could carry Krishna consciousness with you wherever you went. It was a new revelation, because at that time I had never seen that devotees could actually have Krishna consciousness within their own homes, in their own place of residence. And she was so welcoming there at that time. I think that was about 1980. And I'll never forget how she accepted myself and my wife and just brought us into her circle as if we'd been old friends forever. And from that day forward, I was always her dear Nisringananda, my dear Nisringananda. She was the ultimate mother for all devotees that go to. We just felt so embraced by her. And in later years, I followed her career, her activities from a distance, but I always felt that wherever I was always embraced by her love and her devotion for Prabhupada and the devotees. And I think that it can't be underestimated what choice she made when she was in London and had this opportunity that wasn't just offered to her to become a major singing rock star of that generation. I mean, George Harrison, the Beatles, were offering her this opportunity. He said to her, Shyam Sundar told me that he said to her, "I can make you the biggest woman singer in the world." He said, "You have a voice that is unmatched. It's unparalleled. It's beautiful. And, you know, I can make your career for you." And Shyam Sundar told me she actually didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a question for her. He said, No, my devotion is to Srila Prabhupada. And I am not interested in making a career out of singing for anything other than satisfying his divine grace." It was really an incredible choice at the time. But looking back on it, one can understand it, because Prabhupada was so dynamic and so attractive to all the devotees that the thought of name and fame in the material world compared to the bliss of serving Prabhupada was simply incomparable. And I wish that I'd had more association directly, like some other devotees have had, with Her Grace Jamuna. But we're all very fortunate that she's left us such a legacy of her books, and of her books, because she wrote more than one cookbook, and of her singing, and of her pastimes, and of all of the fruits of her labors that we're enjoying every day in Krishna consciousness. She lives on through all of that devotion. And my humble obeisances, millions of times, that I may someday, in some lifetime, millions of lifetimes in the future, reach that level of devotion that she exhibited through her entire life.
Hare Krishna. As soon as I joined the temple in St. Louis, it's like you already knew Jamuna, because every day when we greeted the deities, we heard her voice. At that time, there weren't many kirtan tapes. In fact, there was only one kirtan tape. It was a record called the Radha Krishna Temple album. So every day you heard the Hare Krishna kirtan that was number one in England back in the year, I think, 69 or so. But I joined in 73 and in St. Louis. So Jamuna was already a very significant influence on all the devotees, especially a new devotee like myself. So I already felt that I knew her, although I had never met her. And Srila Prabhupada sent around a letter saying that for Gaur Purnima in Mayapur, he wanted as many devotees as possible to come to Mayapur for the Mayapur festival. This was the first time that the devotees in a group went from America to Mayapur. So the program was to visit Mayapur, and then after that, visit Vrindavan. When we went to Mayapur, it was a wonderful experience. Being in India the first time was kind of a cultural shock. I never really got over the fact that buses and trucks could drive right at each other and at the last minute go like that. But it was wonderful. We did get a little sick, though, because in those days there weren't shops in Mayapur that had bottled water. There was no such thing as Bisleri available. So we were just drinking water from the hand pump. And needless to say, it kind of destroyed our system of digestion. So everyone, without fail, practically speaking, was sick. But still, we were energized by the fact of being in the association of such ecstatic devotees, like Yadupar Prabhu mentioned. Dinanath Prabhu was leading these completely out of this world kirtans, and devotees were so enthusiastic and ecstatic in these kirtans. So eventually the festival wound around to Vrindavan. And in those days, there weren't temples, actually. The Vrindavan temple was under construction. And the husband of Jamuna was Guru Das. He was the president then. So I remember that the temple was just a bunch of bricks. But they finished Srila Prabhupada's room. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada entered his quarters in Vrindavan for the first time. And all the devotees crowded into this room. And there was such a crowd inside that I couldn't get inside. So I was outside the window looking in. And standing next to me was Vishnu Jan Maharaj. And then Srila Prabhupada entered the room and sat down. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj kind of spontaneously said, "Chant Hare Krishna and be happy." So that kind of inspired me that just a devotee, just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, would have that spontaneous emotion to remember his instructions. The devotees were all staying down in Fogal Ashram. So Srila Prabhupada would come early in the morning. Still the sun wasn't up, it was cold. And like I said, everyone was kind of had the deli belly. still devotees were so enlivened by the association of Srila Prabhupada. So getting around to Jamuna, the first time that I interacted with her, I'm kind of a reserved person, doesn't make friends very easily. It takes a while for me to warm up. But I was, my good friend that was with me in India, his name is Chaturatma. And if anybody knows Chaturatma, they know how friendly he is. He's very friendly. So he immediately made friends with both Guru Das and Jamuna. They really liked Chaturatma, and Chaturatma really liked them. But I could see that Jamuna's nature is that she was taking care of all of us. She was there in Vrindavan, and we were all her wards. We were under her. So she was making sure that devotees got prasadam and that, you know, they were comfortable there in Fogal Ashram. That was my first interaction with her. And just as Nrisinghananda Prabhu mentioned, I felt she's mother. She's taking care of us. Even though we were sick, it was hot, we were going around to all these holy places all day long, we were okay because we had Jamuna and we had Guru Das and they were looking after us. That was my first impression. So although we went back to the United States, back to St. Louis, we're doing book distribution and other devotional activities. Again, we were always with Jamuna because every day we heard her voice, her kirtans. And then even later on, when her book came out, it was known as Jamuna's Cookbook. Although the title was something else, It was Jamuna's cookbook. And actually, it was like the Bhagavad Gita of the kitchen. You know? It was the kitchen Gita. Because any temple that you went to in ISKCON, they, you know, the cooks would say, "Where's Jamuna's cookbook?" Right? And they would pull it out and find out how to do a preparation. Before that, there was the Hare Krishna cookbook that Kirtananda Maharaj had made. And there you could quickly find out how to make halava if you had to, you know, sometimes the cook got sick, you were in there, you didn't know, so you'd get, you know, the Hare Krishna cookbook. But after that, things became much more refined and much more elaborate with Jamuna's cookbook. You could find so many different sabjis and so many different sweets and so many different kinds of rice and preparations. And really, many devotees learned how to cook and how to serve Krishna by Jamuna's cookbook. So always we were in touch with her. And I felt very fortunate that last year when she was in... Well, actually, I was in Goa. And I got a phone call from Abhiram. And Abhiram said, "Look, do you know Radhana Swami's phone number?" I said, "Well, I don't really know offhand. He's in America somewhere," I said. This was, I guess, last December or something. And he said, "Well, I just heard from Shruti Rupa that Jamuna is sick and she needs some attention." And he said that they were thinking she should come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So I said, "Well, okay, well, I'll try and find out." And I called Radha Gopinath Mandir, and I got Radhana Swami's servant's phone number in America, and then I passed that on. The message, I gave him Jamuna's phone number so that they could, you know, hook up together, and they could get Jamuna to come to India. So one day Gopal Krishna Maharaj said, "Hey, listen, Jamuna's in the hospital," which I knew. He said, "Let's go out and meet her." So I had the opportunity to go with Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and we met Jamuna in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And she was feeling much better after having been there for some weeks. And she was so happy to meet Gopal Krishna Maharaj and myself also, although, you know, I didn't know her personally that well. She really went out of her way to make us feel very, very comfortable. And she was actually a bubble of energy and enthusiasm. And extremely grateful to all the devotees. So again, my impression was that Krishna consciousness works. Trying to satisfy the pure devotee of the Lord is the success of life. And I think Jamuna's life is the example, the perfect example of that, how one can dedicate oneself to a pure devotee and attain perfection. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I have never lived at a temple where Jamuna was serving, but I saw her. It was like diving and surfacing at different places. First time I saw her in the early 80s in Los Angeles, and she came to visit, and at that time I was doing book distribution, and we were trained, you know, by the leaders who were working under Srila Prabhupada, like Rameshwar, to be very much conscious of visiting guests, etc., and to very nicely host them. And we were told that every guest should be paid full attention, and one of the devotees was asking Prabhupada, what should we serve them prasadam, what should we serve them, halva or this or that preparation. He said, no, full prasadam. There should be always full prasadam kept for the guests. And if there's some, if on one day a guest is not so many guests came, that prasadam could be distributed to the devotees. But there should be always prasadam available. And when Yamuna came, we could see that she has been was imbibing this mood of tuning into newcomers and guests and new devotees that had joined. So she was showing us how to serve these guests and how to very warmly welcome new devotees that have moved into the community. She was meeting with them and talking to them individually and paying full attention to them and you know, helping them to overcome their difficulties in their first in their early days of their Krishna consciousness in a temple. So that was a very nice experience for us, because we felt that she was really representing Srila Prabhupada. And I mean, here in India you have naturally that tendency to host guests, and you know, you're famous for that, that you have this loving approach. But in the West we have to kind of learn this a little bit. We're sometimes a little cold towards others. So, but as devotees, you know, we were very we were very anxious to please Srila Prabhupada, and she was our our hero in that regards, that she had very much imbibed the earlier days the mood of how to spread Krishna consciousness from Srila Prabhupada directly. That was my first experience in the early 80s. Then later on I saw her also in India and at different festivals, and as Bhima Prabhu and Yadavar Prabhu and Nrsinghananda Prabhu already explained, she was very much a leader also, and she was so loving that the Prabhus also accepted her very easily as a leader also. And and amongst us ladies, naturally, we accepted her very much an example of how to practice Krishna consciousness. I have something in remembrance. She hasn't personally told me, but I remember hearing that Srila Prabhupada had personally told her that she could live outside a temple, as Nrsinghananda Prabhu was describing. He visited her and she was living outside the temple, and she had her own deity worship and everything like that, because she very much learned everything from Prabhupada and had this mood of spreading Krishna consciousness, that he trusted her that she could have her own quarters outside of the temple, even away, far away from a temple, and she would do still the same thing, that is spread Krishna consciousness to others, to whomever she met. Well, Prabhupada did not give that, did not encourage that for most of the other devotees. Most of us were told that by no means we should leave the temple. You know, if there were difficulties in Krishna consciousness, we should still stay within the temple and somehow or other try to manage our Krishna consciousness in association of devotees, because being young devotees and not always having had directly the association of Prabhupada like Yamuna, our Krishna consciousness may have been too weak to live outside the community of devotees. But Yamuna, I heard, was the only one, or one of the few ones, that were given directly by Prabhupada that permission to live outside the community. And then later on, as I've been in Bhaktivedanta Hospital since the beginning, I saw her in Gopinath Temple and in the hospital several times. And she visited, I don't remember when she visited the first time, but I clearly remember she visited and had health checkup during the time that Jayaprataka Maharaj was sick and in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And we had a meeting in the auditorium, and it was very wonderful to see that loving exchange between Jayaprataka Maharaj and Yamuna, and the appreciation towards each other. And Jayaprataka Maharaj could hardly speak yet, and but he begged her to sing and to sing with all the devotees that were present there. And so she did him that favor, even though she said now her voice is not so good anymore, you know, so like that. But she sang, and she held a wonderful kirtan, and Jayaprataka Maharaj was in tears. It was very nice. And she wanted to encourage him, but Jayaprataka Maharaj had also his own amazing spiritual strength. With Yamuna, when Jayaprataka Maharaj, when Radhanath Maharaj came the first time in, after seeing Jayaprataka Maharaj after his illness, he greeted Radhanath Maharaj and said, "Maharaj, I see you." He could barely speak, but he said, he was indicating, I was in the ICU, but now I see you. I can see you, you know. And well, he was smiling brightly. He was jovial, even though he went through that heavy illness, you know, the brain stem stroke. And Yamuna, you know, knowing his condition, she was wanting to encourage him and said so many sweet words about his services in Mayapur, and you know, they know each other for such a long time also. So that was very nice to see that loving exchange. And then later on, Yamuna came that time also for her own health checkup. But then again she came, I don't know the dates, I don't remember exactly the dates, but this must have been just a year ago or something, when she was admitted in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and they actually found out that she had sleep apnea, which is an illness that usually when there's overweight or something like that, or there's an accumulation of water within the body or something, that the lungs are compromised, you know, they're because of the pressure. And at night, when the head is back and the tongue goes into the throat, sometimes the breathing is sporadic, you know. Sometimes they breathe and then for quite a long time they don't breathe, and then again. So there's less oxygen within the body, and many times people pass away during such breathing difficulties in the night. So when she came to the hospital, all the devotees very warmly welcomed. The most of all, of course, Radhanath Maharaj. He had also previously visited her in Sharanagati, and he was so they had such a loving exchange. And I heard also that previously Prabhupada had said that she was on the level of Bhav Bhakti. That means she was very advanced and had emotional feelings for the Lord and what to speak of his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. And so Radhanath Maharaj very much had reciprocations of emotional exchanges also. I observed that. And he very highly honors her, and she felt very comfortable in his association. And all the devotees in Gopinath Mandir who have tuned into the mood of Radhanath Maharaj to serve and love Yamuna Devi, she very nicely reciprocated with all the devotees. They all tried to serve her, but actually when she came, she needed a lot of privacy because she had these physical difficulties and it was difficult for her to meet so many devotees. She felt sorry about that, but just like I think Nishingananda Prabhu, you described that, how despite her illnesses, she couldn't help it, but she would let the devotees come after all. As for myself, you know, I was eager to serve her, but she didn't give me much service. Of course, I knew that, you know, if she was in that mood, also the younger devotees, they can get her association and serve her, and they will advance by that, you know. So, but then before leaving Bhaktivedanta Hospital, actually I had to leave before she left because I had to help with the setting up of the hospice in Vrindavan, and she spent quite a few hours with me, just speaking with me, and she explained that she didn't want to accept services from me because I'm her god sister. And I said, Yamuna, it would have been my honor to give me more to do. Inevitably, some services were there because the younger devotees wouldn't know certain things that I would do. But I felt, as I feel with Maliti and other god sisters, senior god sisters, I feel much like a junior, almost like a, like the very new devotees, you know. And she is so advanced, and it was my pleasure to do whatever I could do to serve her. But she was very humble and like that. So that was my last. And in fact, this bag that I'm having here and several things she gave me as a gift from her, and I treasure these things. Some other things also that she gave me as she left. So I just wanted to pay my obeisances to Yamuna Devi and thank her for all the association she has given us and the impression she left in our hearts how to serve the Lord and the devotees. Hare Krishna.
I think it's significant that Srila Prabhupada established Yamuna Devi's voice in the greeting of the deities, because it is a very clear message that whether we're in a male body or in a female body, and particularly that he chose her voice to be, for the next, as far as I understand it, 10,000 years, the sound that one hears when seeing the Lord. Should give us some pause, brahmacharis, that whether we're in a female or a male body, it's devotion that is the true measure of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And I think that that's a good reminder for myself particularly, and maybe some of us every morning in this generation and future generations, that certainly we are not these bodies, and we'll hear that legacy for many, many generations to come.
Krishna. Does anybody have any questions about Yamuna Devi? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I only had the opportunity to have Yamuna Devi's association one time. It was in the auditorium at the New Delhi temple. And after she gave a talk, someone asked her to sing the Govindam prayers. And when she sang the Govindam prayers, I had one of the most fabulous spiritual experiences I've ever had. And it was just because of her purity. I could feel it. It was just so apparent. There was no like music. No, it was only her voice. She was singing the Govinda. It was so beautiful. I've never heard anything like that. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada would ask her many times in the early days in India, I observed, to lead kirtan. And she would always do it with great devotion. There's actually a film. Unfortunately, it's a silent film, but you can see her intense devotion while singing. Kirtan.
Actually, I remember in connection with Jayananda Prabhu, I was in Los Angeles community, and the message was sent to Srila Prabhupada that he had left his body, and then he was, at first he was saying he's gone to Swargaloka, and the devotees kind of were shocked to hear that, and then he heard how Jayananda Prabhu was in the hospital and he had leukemia, and the doctors were just experimenting and trying to, like, were not really able to help him. So when he realized that, he took his IVs out and he went into the street in his hospital gown, took a taxi, went to the temple and never went back to a doctor, and just accepted whatever came with his illness. And towards the end also he said that what is the use of having such a body when you can't do any service for the Lord? And when Srila Prabhupada heard all that, he said no, he's gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. And he said after that, that once a devotee rejoins the Lord in the spiritual world, there is no difference between sadhaka and nitya siddha bhakta. And his departure, his tirubhav, should be celebrated like that of any other Vaishnava acharya. So he had us sing the Yanilo Premadana prayers. He was one of the first devotees actually that passed away, of our God brothers and God sisters. So that's where we learned, you know, that there's it is actually a celebration, because they went back to the spiritual world, so it is a celebration. So, but we are singing the Yanilo Premadana prayers for that.
Sing that.
Hare Krishna.
Do we have these? We should sing the Yanilo Premadana. Yes, you want to sing?
What?
You want to sing?
I want to sing.
You don't know?
Ya nilo prema dhana karuna prachur. Ya nilo prema dana karuna prachur ino prabhu kota ila acharya taku Prabhu kota gila acharya thakur kamora svarup rupa kahasana thana morasa kamora swarup rupa kahasana thana Patita Pavana Kahadasa Ragunata Patita Pavana Kahamura Bhatta Yuga Kaha Kavira Kaha
Shani kuti bo mata annali pashivo Shani kuti bo mata annali Shani kuti bo mata Annali Pashivo Goranga Guniranidhi Kutagila Pavo Se samba sangira sangi jikolo vilas va sangira sangi Se samba sangira sangi jikolo Sisangana paya kande narotama Sangas na paya kande narota madas. Ye anilo prema dana karuna pracho. Anilo prema dana karuna pracho Hino pravo kota gila achaya tako Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasya Charishatarine Te Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasya Charishatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Jaya Yamuna Devi, Jaya Yamuna Devi, Jaya Yamuna Devi, Jaya Yamuna Devi.
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacha Jashto Tarta Shishimad Abhaya Charanaravindam Bhaktivaranta Swami Maharaj Shurupadi Gijai Ananda Kodi Vaishnavindi Gijai Iskand Bibiti Sangstamakacharya Shila Prabhupada Gijai Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Gijai Prem Sigaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vru Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vindi Gijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shama Kundra Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Gijai Shri Vrindavan Dham Gijai Shri Mayapunavari Dham Gijai Ganga Maya Jamuna Maya Gijai Shri Mari Tulsi Devi Gijai Shri Mari Bhakti Devi Gijai Shri Labro Bahari Gijai Shri Jamuna Devi Dasi Gijai Shri Jamuna Devi Dasi Gijai Shri Jamuna Devi Dasi Gijai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Vo All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.